I'm so happy that we get to hear from Manny today. And I wouldn't have accompanied him up here today except for the fact that it's 11:56. And I want to make sure that you feel free to preach what God has put on your heart. And I want to say that in front of the congregation. And for your sake, I want you to stand up, because we're going to be sitting a little while longer. So I want you to stand up. I want you to get up on your tippy toes, stretch your calves a little bit. If you do the thing of where you rock back on your heels, you have a pew behind you to support you. If you want to hug somebody, hug somebody. But now, Manny, I know God has put a message on your heart. You can be seated. And Manny, share what God has given you.
Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for another day of life and for your many blessings. Father, may I decrease and may you increase, Lord. And I pray that what is spoken, that will touch and take root in the ground and the soil of our hearts, that our faith may be increased, that our faith, if it is dormant, that it will be awakened, that we may know, Father, that with you all things are possible, and that with you we can move mountains, Lord. And I thank you so much for this church and for this place and for everybody in here. And all these things we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Happy Sabbath. Man. I'm a little nervous, so forgive me. Thank you so much. The service has been such a blessing to me, like Vern was saying. And I want to thank you so much for the people who served our country. You guys sacrificed so much for us. And we can't even begin to thank you enough for that. So thank you so much for your service. Also, I would like to share a little bit. Two people that I know of who have recently had birthdays. One is Josh Borquez. He just had a birthday this past week. So happy birthday, Joshua. You were 12, now you turn 13. And my wife, Kat, had a birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Kat. Yes. So just kind of wanted to put them on blast because, you know, take a little bit of focus off of me for a little bit. But I'm so happy to be here with you guys. And thank you so much for the kindness and the generosity that you have extended to my wife and I being new here. And it truly has been just such a blessing to both of us. And I haven't met all of you yet. There's plenty of new faces that I haven't seen, so plenty of familiar faces that I have seen, and I hope to get to know you guys better, and I hope to connect with you guys somehow, some way. But moving along into the message, when I heard I was doing Moses, I was like, man, Moses? Moses is like one of the biggest Old Testament characters in the Bible. He like gave the Torah, he parted the Red Sea, he went against Pharaoh. So I was like, man, Pastor Bob, Pastor Roy, you guys couldn't like take it easy on me for my first sermon. But but the story of Moses is such a powerful story. Just a little brief synopsis. Moses, obviously, he was born. He had parents who looked after him. And during that time, the decree was to kill infants. And Moses, he was alive during that time, and his parents protected him. And eventually, his parents gave away Moses into Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter found him, grew up in Egypt, eventually killed a man. He fled away from Egypt because he was afraid of the decree of the king. The king wanted to kill him. And then Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. And so God had a lot of work to do on his character. Would you say that? Amen, right? A lot of work to do in his character. So Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, got married, had some kids. And that same man that grew up in Egypt that killed a man, God was calling him to go back and face that same person that he was afraid of. And so, but all that didn't happen, all that happened within a time span. So Moses didn't just have faith magically appear out of thin air. It was a process for him. His faith was being formed. Now, when you guys think of the word form or formed, what are some words that pop in your head? What are some ideas that pop in your head? What is that? Clay, right? You're molding clay. What else? Mud, okay. Mud, you're forming mud. Anything else? Invent, yes. You have an idea, you got to form it, you got to put it together. Sometimes it doesn't work, you got to throw that aside, you got to bring other ideas in, right? One thing that stands out for me is I think of a baby in a mother's womb being formed and just how parts appear. The heart comes, the brain comes, the eyelids appear all of a sudden. But this stuff takes time. It's a process. So babies don't just appear in the mother's womb full. They have to be grown in there. They have to be formed. All right. And when you guys think of the word faith, what are some images or what are some words that come to mind when you think of the word faith? Trust, right? What else? Belief. Right? Anything else? What's that? Strong, okay. Oh, mustard seed, yeah. Okay, I like that. Okay, so all this stuff is idea when it comes to faith. For me, faith, a word that comes to mind is action. And another word that comes to mind is linear. Faith keeps going. It's linear. And another thing, too, that faith comes to mind is working out. Right? How many of you guys like exercise? I like exercise. If you don't raise your hand, it's okay. We're not saying that you don't exercise or anything. But I love exercise. I've played sports pretty much all my life. I've been in the gym. My dad introduced me to... Oh, my dad's here, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to introduce him. Hi, Dad. He came to support me in my speaking today, so it's good to have him here. His name is Robert, by the way, so you guys get a chance, say hi. But my dad, he used to go to the gym when I was younger, and he took me and my brother to the gym. So the gym has been a part of my life since I was small. And faith to me, just like your muscles, you have to work out your muscles to get stronger, correct? And faith is the same way. Our faith is a muscle. If you don't work out your faith, it's going to become weaker and it's going to become dormant. But the cool thing is that faith, like I said, is dormant. That doesn't mean it goes away. It's just laying there waiting to be exercised, right? So these are some of the ideas when it comes to being formed in faith when I think about it. So then, the life of Moses is a story of redemption, deliverance, and how God transformed his life. And Moses he was being formed by faith, and this took time. And the beginning of this formation, it began it's touchy. Okay. The beginning of his formation began with his parents. And the beginning, verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So Moses' faith began to be formed by the example of his parents. And the faith of his parents defeated natural fear, and their example demonstrates the importance of how important it is for godly parenting in our lives. And now imagine trying to keep an infant quiet during that time. Now, some of your parents who have been parents, had kids, know that it's tough to keep an infant quiet, right? Sometimes infants are more noisier than others. Some are actually pretty quiet, but still, picture Moses' parents trying to keep the baby quiet, trying to keep the baby hidden, trying to keep the baby a secret. It took a family effort for them to hide Moses, to keep him a secret, and so that nobody else will know, because the decree was that they were going to kill the infants, right? So not only did they do this in faith, but their lives were on the line too. Not just the child's line, but the parents' line as well. You know, so they took an extraordinary risk, but they saw something in Moses. They saw that he was a special child and that he was going to do something great. And so this is what caused them to do that. And I'm sure that through prayer and through a connection with God, they knew that Moses was destined for greatness. You know, so the example of godly parenting is so huge. But at the same time, too, comparing life of today and comparing it to the life of back then, parenting is challenging. Parenting is challenging. Some examples are the busyness of life. As a Western culture, our society thrives on, we are busy. I don't want to, if I were to look at some of your guys' schedule for yourselves and for your kids, I was like, man, how do you guys have time to sleep? You know, so we have some busy schedules. And you know, me being new here and going to the academy sometimes, the kids can be pretty busy sometimes. So the busyness of life, and sometimes we are so busy that we don't even have time to sit together and eat a meal. 59% of Americans say that they have less time to sit down and eat a meal together than they did back then when they were younger. That's more than half of the United States. So we are busy, busy, busy people. And another factor, which I'm sure that many of you are aware of, is technology. Technology and social media. And that really takes up our time. And going back to the eating dinner together, sometimes parents have said that the only time they get to actually connect with each other and talk with each other is at the dinner table. But even then, that time is taken up by technology and social media. So parenting is challenging today. So technology, I'm not saying is bad, because it's done so much good in our lives today. It connects us in ways that we could never have thought of, dreamed, or imagined that we could be connected. I could have a friend in Argentina, and I could see where they're eating or they're celebrating a birthday or something like that in a split second, and I can tell them happy birthday, you know? Phones are helpful, especially when our kids are at school. You can call them and say, hey, where are you? I need to know where you are. Are you okay? Are you safe? You know, things like that. And we can FaceTime each other now. We can call each other in a split second. But at the same time, too, technology has caused us to lose the ability to connect in deeper, face-to-face. I remember one time at another church I was helping, a gentleman and his choir came from one of the schools, and he was researching social media and what it's doing to our society. And he says, the number one fear of young people today in our society is the fear of face-to-face communication. And to me, that's like, I love to communicate to people. I love to build relationships. I love to connect. I love to have conversations. My wife knows I love to talk, but I love to listen more so. I could just sit down and talk to people all day, and I don't even have to know you. You know, I just want to hear your story. I want to hear about who you are. So it has caused us to lose. We are losing the ability to recognize cues of body language. We are losing the ability to recognize a tone of voice or gestures that are a part of human connection. And these are things we learn from early age and growing up. So social media and the busyness of life. Another way is fear. Fear of our schools being shot up. That's increasing almost every single year. Fear of abuse, a fear of bullying on social media. You know, all these things come into play. Parenting is difficult in our day and age. And then the last one is doing parenting alone. I believe it's more than 50% of our families in America are single homes, single parents. And it's around that range. So not only do parents have to go through, deal with all those, but they also do parenting alone, which is very, very difficult in our day and age. Because they're busy, social media, the fear of where your kid's being at because something could happen to them. But I believe that now more than ever, not only is a parent being a challenge, it's a challenge for them, but now more than ever, our church and our community have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus for our families and for our youth. And the devil, Vern mentioned we have an enemy. You know, I believe that the devil is doing all he can to disrupt, to distract, and to destroy families. And here's the reason why. It's because the family, the ecosystem of the family, you have the opportunity to experience the love of God in such a powerful way. And that is the most powerful way that you can do that, I believe. So, but all that's being disrupted, you know. But now as a church, I believe the church is an extension to families. You know, so we as a church have the opportunity to love our young people, to love families who are hurting, to love families who are single parents and who have gone through so much in life. And this is where the faith of Moses began to be formed, reflecting upon the sacrifice of his parents and what they did for him. Because I know that when he got older, he had to have thought, like, how did I get here? What's my story? You know, and he had to have remembered and heard and encountered that his parents sacrificed for him. And they did that for him. So I'm sure that that was part of his faith being formed in his life. So the second one is his faith was formed by choosing to follow God and the call in his life. Now, Moses had a decision, right? As we read in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So Moses had a decision to make. He came to a fork in the road. He saw his path. He's like, okay, I can go here with Pharaoh, where I can live a lavish life. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm not going to be treated ill will. Or I can go the way of my where my heart is telling to go, where God is telling me to go. I can go and choose to follow my people, where I'm going to be treated ill will by Pharaoh. You know, so he had a choice to make. And I remember, for me, I haven't been a Christian. Some of you guys have heard, I haven't been a Christian all my life. I became a Christian at the age of 21. And when I came to that point, when I heard the gospel, when I heard about Jesus Christ, I had a choice to make. I had a decision of, okay, Manny, you can live your life. You can live the life of how I was living before. I was going to parties. I was going to clubs. You know, I was hanging out with my friends in these type of environments. Or I can choose to follow God and his call upon my life. You know, obviously, I made this decision. Amen. But I made the choice, but the choice was still difficult. You know, I still remember going to church sometimes. I still remember going to church that day. And then evening time, I would go to a club or go to a party. But I felt in my heart was wrestling. You know, I remember one time coming back from a party. I remember praying to God, like, God, like, I know this isn't what you want from me. I was like, please take this desire away from me. And slowly but surely, God began to take that desire away from me. You know, where I don't even have the desire to do it anymore. You know, I know what it's like. And then in there it says the passing pleasure of sin. I'm going to be honest, I had fun going to those things. Can I be honest with you? Okay, I had fun. But once I got back from that, the fun was gone. You know? And so when I started to give my heart to Jesus, that passing pleasure that I felt doing those things began to be fulfilled in my heart with what Jesus offered me. You know, so Moses had a decision to make. And the decision that Moses made would forever change his life and would change the history of God's people. The decision that Moses made would forever change his life and the story of God's people. And this is the amazing part, choosing to allow God to write our stories is so much more exciting than me writing my own story. You know, I cannot tell you the excitement and the joy that I get from living as a Christian. God has done so much great things in my life. He has sent me to so many cool places. I have met people that I call friends for life now. And I've met my beautiful wife, Kat. You know, if I wasn't a Christian, I don't know where I'd be right now. I don't even know if I would even know God. You know, so, but the decisions that you and I need to make could forever change the context of where we are in life. Let me say that again. The decisions that you and I make can change the context of where we are in life. And one way my decision of choosing to follow God has changed my context of living is that I'm going to have kids one day, and my kids now get to have that opportunity to know God, to follow God, to experience the love of God that I was able to experience. So So that's one way that my choice of following God has changed my context and my living. And the third way is that Moses, his faith was being formed in how he trusted in God. And eventually, Moses would trust God so much that he went back to face Pharaoh, the man that wanted to kill him. And Moses knew who Pharaoh was. He knew the kind of tyrant that Pharaoh was. He grew up in his palace. So, and I'm pretty sure that anybody in their right mind would be afraid to go back to that man and face him, you know. But there was something different about Moses. There was something different that he had an experience with God, and his faith was being formed to become stronger. His faith was being exercised, and it was becoming strengthened because of being in a personal relationship with God. And so Moses went to face his greatest enemy and his greatest fear, and he overcame because he knew that God was on his side. So with God on our side, our greatest enemy, our greatest challenges are minuscule in the sight of God. Now, my background is actually in chaplaincy. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I went to Loma Linda and studied to be a hospital chaplain because I felt that I'm a person, I love like one-on-one, and I felt that chaplaincy could really help form and grow the gift that God has given me in that aspect. So when I was in Kettering, and my director as a chaplain, as a resident chaplain there, one thing that he would ask people, and one thing he would ask us is how are your troubles treating you? And when I heard that, I thought that was so profound. I was like, wow. So I want to ask us today, how are your troubles treating you? When we come face to face with our challenges, with our troubles, in what reality are we facing them? Are we facing them in God's reality, or are we facing them in our own reality? Because Moses saw his circumstance against Pharaoh in the context of God's reality instead of his own reality. And I want to ask another question. As a church, what and whose reality are we living in? And I ask that question because I'll share one reality with each and every one of us. The reality is, all across America, our churches are dying. Our young people, once they move from high school to college, they're leaving church. And once they get families, luckily, we'll be able to get them back because they have kids. And they recognize that leaving that time away, they don't want their kids to experience that. So that's a reality that we're facing today in our church. And for me, that's something that I want to change. And I hope that we can change here. The young people, the churches that are thriving right now and that are growing young, the young people in these churches, they have responsibilities. They are on committees. They are helping with the worship service. They are even helping do the worship service. And the churches that are thriving, that are growing young, the young people are the focal point of those churches. And this is my hope and prayer for us. I'm not saying that it's not, but I think that we can take a step in that direction and make it even more so if that's not a reality that we're living in today. And we cannot survive without our young people being the core and the focus of our churches. You can have all the evangelistic series you want. You can have all the health seminars you want. And I'm a product of an evangelistic series. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But you can do all that stuff because we're very good at doing that. I'm going to be honest. I hear a lot about this stuff going on and on. But yeah, I still see some of our churches empty. And for me, that breaks our heart because I know the message we have. I know the God that we serve. So we can do all that, but if our young people are not the focus and are not the center of our churches, and it's going to just remain the same. Moses saw his circumstance against Pharaoh in the context of God's reality. As individuals, are we living in the context of our own reality, which is limited and tends to put God in a box, or are we living in the context of God's reality, which says With me, all things are possible. By trusting in God, Moses was able to face his enemy and his greatest challenges and overcome. By trusting in God, he dwelled in God's reality instead of his own. He was living kingdom on earth as it was in heaven, as it is in heaven. And I hope and pray that that's a reality that we can have every single day. And that doesn't mean that are not going to face challenges in life. That doesn't mean that we are not going to have pain in life. But that just means that we know who is on our side, and that we can overcome, and that we can go through the pain with the love and the healing of God's grace. And the fourth and final way is that in Moses' faith being formed is that he was willing to step out into the deep. Now I want you guys to picture something with me, okay? Picture that you're Moses and that you're walking. You know the Egyptians are behind you. God has done some amazing things. The blood on top of the doorways, the plagues, all these things God has done. But when you're Moses, you're walking up to the Red Sea, and all you can see outstretched before you is just water. You have a cool breeze coming to you, maybe going through your beard, maybe going through your long hair. I don't know how Moses looked, but I imagine that's how he looked. You feel the breeze coming to you, and you look behind you, and you see a people who are afraid because Pharaoh is right on your tail, and he wants to destroy you and your people. And they're looking to you to do something. At that point, I imagine Moses being like, God, all I see is water, and all I see is these people behind me. What can I do? You know what Moses tells them before he does that? He says in Exodus 14, 13 and 14, I love this verse. He says, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. God challenged Moses to step out into the deep, and Moses was willing. So what challenges are we facing today where God needs to say, "You, those challenges you're facing, you're not going to see them anymore. The enemy that you're facing, you're not going to see him anymore. Just stand still, hold your peace, and I will fight for you." Moses then turns around, and this is how I picture it. Moses turns around, he takes a few steps into the water, and he raises his hands, and the sea parts. Now, God had never have done that before. You know, there's not a story in there that says God did that again. So Moses really had to trust in God. He really had to be willing to step out into the deep and to know that God was going to do something for him. So God was calling Moses out into the deep to trust him and to stretch his faith. As God called Moses out into the deep, he also calls us out into the deep as well to stretch our faith. Stepping out into the deep means being out of your comfort zone. Stepping out into the deep means the unknown, the unpredictable. Stepping out into the deep means feeling a loss of control. How many guys love having the feeling of control? I'm pretty sure we all do. Yeah, right. The loss of feeling of control is very tough it's very tough to lose that. God is calling each and every one of us out into the deep to form a deeper and inner trust in him. As a church, God is calling us into the deep that we can trust and rely upon him to do great and mighty things today. God wants mighty acts in our lives and in our communities. He wants to do God-sized acts in our life. So just wrapping up with some final thoughts. Moses has a powerful story, and I think we all could agree with that, amen. He has a powerful story, and his faith begins to be formed by the example of his parents, by following the call God has put in his life, by trusting in God, and by stepping out into the deep, into the unknown. Now, Moses does have a powerful story, but I believe that God longs to perform those same acts in our lives today. And I love reading these stories, but I'm tired of living back there. I want, God says that you will do greater things than what I did. And I believe he wants to do that in us. I believe that there are people in here that we as a church can have that faith, can have that trust in God, where we're like, you know what, God? I don't know what that looks like today, but I want to follow you. And I want to do those things because the acts that God did for Moses was not about Moses. It was about giving glory to God and seeing the kind of God that he is. And I believe people now more than ever need to see that type of God today. And when that happens, I believe our churches will be flooded with people. My prayer and my dream for us is that we will be able to dream God-sized dreams that will allow God to be God and perform these mighty acts in our lives. And this is my prayer, that our faith will be formed by God-sized dreams. So, why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy towards us, God. Thank you so much for each and every person that is in here. Thank you so much for the story of Moses and how you formed his faith, Lord. But I believe you are doing a great and mighty thing in our lives today. And Jeremiah says, I want to show you great and mighty things, things that you have not even known or heard of before. And I believe you want to do that in us today, Father. Our world is hurting. Our young people are hurting. And they are leaving this place to find something that will satisfy them. But God, I know that nothing in this world can satisfy but you. May we as a church rally around our young people. May we as a church rally around our families. May we be the love that you need us to be, Father. May we practice the faith that you want us to practice. And may we live a life of freedom that you want us to live, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.